Mrs. Gertsen, Reel 2, you were just telling me about making the banners.
Yeah. And, but we risked our lives by doing it because we eventually got arrested, some of us, and we had to serve a sentence for it. But you see, if one joined the Communist Party, it was like to an honest Catholic to believe in his or her religion. We were even sacrificed. A lot of people have sacrificed the parents because a lot of our parents have not liked that their children should be communist. But they didn't succeed it. We thought we know better than the parents.
When you met in your communist youth organization,
yeah.
What kind of activities would you have?
The activities were... The main object was to organize people, all illegal, that the movement should be bigger, that we should become powerful in time to change the system of the Polish government.
So you were trying to get recruits?
Yeah.
Did you study literature, Marxist literature, books?
I read a few, yes. And all these meetings... It was all, it was all about, you know, how can I say? I used to read a lot of literature which was illegal as well. They used to print literature and to distribute.
Can you remember what you read?
I don't remember. I read a lot of little books in that time, illegal in Poland, about the system in Russia, about Stalin, you know, how wonderful he was and all that, you know, how he fighted for the, you know, and Lenin about fighting the Russian Revolution. And we wanted in Poland a repetition.
And
Russia, we looked up to Russia as, you know, something out of this world that we would like that the whole world should become a common, you know, equal rights, do away with the Tsar, give the working class people better conditions and all that.
And were most of the members of the Communist Youth Organization boys or girls?
A mixture.
An equal mixture.
I don't know if it was equal. I can't make it 2 and 2 or 3 and 3.
What kind of jobs would they do?
In daily life?
Yes.
Any jobs? I might as well tell you that jobs in Poland for Jewish people were very much limited. The government didn't give you any government jobs because you are Jew. There were not Jewish policemen. There were not even government office people, Jewish people. That's why we remained in these little professions like a tailor, a shoemaker, a cup maker, very limited professions. We didn't have the entry. They wouldn't let us do. Or the rich people, the rich Jewish people, they were shopkeepers.
But in the Communist Youth Organization...
Yeah. We just had jobs. We just like me. They were mostly not office people, workers, because we didn't have entry to our offices. We were just, you know, ordinary, you know... A tailor, a shoemaker.
So you wouldn't have intellectuals in the Communist Youth?
We educated ourselves. We had intellectuals, but not locally where I lived. You see, I didn't live in the city in Warsaw.
Did you organize strikes?
At work, we organize strikes, not nationally strike in the country.
Where would the strikes be?
On the place of work. We wanted the better conditions. We worked long hours for very little pay.
Do you remember any specific strikes at the time? Any particular strikes?
No, the trade unions were not legal either in Poland, so there were not national known strikes. No, as a fact, it was like this. You take it or you leave it. If you felt that you can find a better job, you didn't even to give notice. You left. But the unemployment was so great in Poland that one was lucky to have a job. My husband was a very good tailor, a gents tailor. But the other bigger town in Poland was called Lodz, which was like London's Manchester, like English Manchester. So if we didn't have in his little job, not in factories we work, tailors didn't have factories in Poland. It was all done by hand in somebody's house, a few people working, with not new methods. It's all done by hand. And if he didn't have work in our town and he has to live, he will try to go to Lodz, because it was a bigger town, to find unemployment at very bad conditions as well.
Now, you said that about the anti-Semitism. Can you tell me more about the anti-Semitism that you experienced in Poland before the war?
Anti-Semitism?
You said people would call names after Jewish children.
Yeah.
What other anti-Semitism took place?
Well, the other anti-Semitism that I mentioned to you was that they didn't give profession. They didn't let us be on an equal with the, you know, with them, with professions.
Was there any violence in the streets?
About that, no. But there was violence, I'll tell you what. There was, like here, the black shirts, you know. There was in our town as well, and in other towns, called ND, Endekis people, Christians, who hated Jews, young or old. And if we in summer went for a walk, and we went to a park, summer, young ones, they will beat us up. There was a pool in our park in hometown. They will throw us in the pool. We were practically frightened in the evening to go because of these, you know, being beaten up by these Endekis.
Did you ever suffer violence from Endekis?
No, I didn't personally, but I'm telling you, this is the whole truth. Yeah.
What do you think was the cause of the anti-Semitism? Was it?
I tell you my opinion, and this was plenty of other people's opinion. Anti-Semitism. We were very poor in Poland. The poorer the country is, I think, if the country is a poverty country, the religion is they believe more in religion. They think if you are poor and you're hungry, God will help you. And that's why if the Polish, I'm talking not about Jewish poor people, if the Polish people were poor people, people in the villages, where they didn't have houses, their buildings were built of clay and water, and the children couldn't go to school in the villages because they didn't have any shoes. So they turned around, the parents, when a Christian baby was cradled at home, the mother will say, hate the Jews, because Jews, Jesus, and all these, you know, hate, that's why they grew up, the Christian children grew up, right from the very tiny one in the cradles to hate the Jews. They used to say, you know, that uneven bread that at the Jewish Easter, where Jewish people don't eat ordinary bread. It's just bread and pancakes, unleavened bread. They say this is baked with Polish blood. This they taught the babies, that they kill us to be able to bake this, and no blood goes in baking these pancakes, because it's not even salt in it, it's just water. Because, you know, when the Jews ran to Egypt, from Egypt, and they didn't have time to bake bread, this is the tradition, they bake these pancakes in the quick.
Now, you said that you got married before the war. Can you tell me about your husband a bit?
Yeah.
What kind of a man he was?
I knew my... When he wasn't my husband, he belonged to a Zionist... When he was young, when I was already a young communist, illegally communist, my husband joined... There were plenty of... You know what are Zionist organizations. In Poland, there were many parties. Here in Parliament, we got only the Tories and the Labour and the...
Alliance.
The Liberal. But in Poland, like it is now in Israel, the parliament is about 16 different parties. So it was in Poland. There were, you know, social democrats with different names of Poland. There were communists, and there were even religious, Jewish religious, you know, religious organizations that they had their clubs. But my father was proud that he succeeded, that his daughter, like me, belongs to the youth communist. My next sister was 3.5 years younger. She is the young, this is the longest stretch of time between me and my sister, because the other five were born much quicker. You know, this is the longest distance. My sister is still alive. She lives in Israel. And so...
You were going to tell me about your husband and the Zionists.
Yeah, my husband belonged to Zionist organization. And then he disliked it, just like my father did away with his... Yeah, his parents wanted him to become a rabbi. They sent him to a Jewish school, and, you know, what's called a cheder, and then it's the further education, which is yeshiva, to study all about Judaism. And he was very good at it. Every week he had to, a rabbi in the town used to examine him, what he did for the week, and they gave high hopes for him to the parents. But in the middle of that study, my husband decided that it doesn't make sense. And he gave it up altogether, to the biggest disappointment of the parents. And he joined a Zionist organization, which was called Trumfeldo, Jabotinsky. I believe Jabotinsky was a founder to go to you know, for Palestine and so on. I've forgotten already this. I was very active in it. But look, sir, it's so many years since I left Poland, and so many years since I was young and belonged to that organization. No wonder. Anyway, even in that Zionist organization, he gave it up. He didn't see sense. And he joined the Young Communist Party.
Is that because you had an influence on him?
No, he didn't know me then.
Did you meet him through the...
I met him, and he was much more outspoken than me. He could speak to people. We used to have these illegal meetings in rooms and, you know, talk about our way, what we think and everything. He could write even articles and pin it on the wall for everybody to read. You know, more so I was, he was an introvert, and, you know...
He was a what?
How do you say it? And people who are not shy. I was the more shyest one.
Self-confident.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, coming on to the war, Did the German attack on Poland in September 1939, did it take you by surprise or had you expected it?
We read a lot, what we knew a lot what's happened to the Jewish people in Germany before the war started. A lot of Jewish citizens in Germany, they ran away from Germany before the war started.
And did you meet any of these?
I didn't personally meet, but they came to Poland to relations or to somebody on the way somewhere, I don't know. And they foreseeing that something dreadful will happen.
But did you personally expect the Germans to attack Poland?
We read a lot about the Brown Book, and we realized, yeah, we were politically minded. We realized that something dreadful will happen. And when, I've forgotten already a lot to what it was then. And I remember the first day of the war in Poland, on a Saturday. I was walking the street with my boyfriend, with my husband. And the first bombs arrived. And we didn't think that they're going to drop the bombs. We heard that noise, we looked up, and we didn't know it's the beginning of the war. So we ran for shelter. And where the shelter was in basements, because the buildings in Poland were very old-fashioned and every house had a basement. And we ran to the basement and we waited until we get over the attack. I was still living that time in a rented room with my husband in one room.
Whereabouts?
In the hometown, in that Piotrków.
Which street?
Which street? Wait a minute. Zamurowa.
Yes, so I interrupted you. You were saying that the German raid came.
Yeah. Then I went home to see how my parents are doing. You know, because I knew where I lived before. And my father was outside counting the airplanes. Then we decided that we must run away from the hometown, not to be attacked by the Germans. So my husband went first to the town where he used to work when he was unemployed, to find a place where somebody will accommodate us for a short while in the town, because he knew already, he's been before, you know, living in lodgings while he worked. And I gave up already that room that I live with my husband and went to stay back with my parents. I spoke to my parents about running away, that I intend to, and they say my father was even jealous. He said to me, it's all right for you. I don't know if he was jealous, but he says, you are only two. How can I run away? Where shall I run? We didn't have money to hire a plane to go abroad. We didn't have money even from town to town to go in a car in Poland. A coach was something out of this world in that time. It meant to the other people that you're going abroad if you go to another town. We never traveled. People didn't have cars in my time. We had horse carts, or we have, like, you going on a holiday to Greece for a ride on a horse-driven vehicle, which was called in Poland a droszka. Like here, a taxi. It was called a droszka if you want to go and pay, but it has to be paid to go from place to place. But people walked.
So your father said that he couldn't go?
He couldn't go. He says, you are right, you haven't got children. I was only 1 year married. We couldn't afford to have a children. We hardly had a job. We rented one little room. So they didn't go. But my husband said to, he came back, he found a place. He didn't find a place in Lodz. He said, Sonia, we're running away to Russia. You will ask, why to Russia? Because Russia is the border with Poland. We couldn't run overseas. We didn't have money for planes. We didn't have relations, like plenty of Jewish people have relations in America or in England. So we decided, but we didn't have money to start to run. So my husband in the quick, as he was a tailor, he used to make his own suits. He said, Sonia, don't have an excuse. We haven't got money. I will sell a couple of suits. And he sold somewhere, you know, to anybody to have some money to start. And, before we run away, I must tell you of the conditions. The Germans soon occupied our hometown. But in the time when my husband went to Lodz to find a place, the bomb came on our hometown and houses were on fire. So my parents decided that we're not staying in the house because we lived in an attic room. And we will get killed easily. If you don't live in an attic room, we get killed just the same if a bomb falls on the house. So we packed only a few necessary things. We left everything. We put a lock on the door. And I, with my parents, ran away.
Where to?
We wanted to run to the capital to be safe. We didn't know. We thought, all right, it's a provincial town, although it was a big town. We will be safe in the capital. So we start running. Well, running, and it was, you know, so many children and father and mother. And the weather in that time, you don't remember, but it was a very hot summer when the war started. And it was really still hot when we ran away. So we slept in forests. We couldn't run in the daytime because we are at night, at least the planes had a rest. The bombing was mostly during the day, when there is life. So where could we run? Nobody would let you in. So we slept in forests. We walked all the way through the countryside. We walked. We slept in the open. We slept near in a farm in the open near where the cows live.
Barns.
In the barns or near the barns. We ran out of food because what could we take? We hardly had anything at home to start with. And
were the German planes attacking people on the roads?
They were attacking people, you know, the Polish government were not equipped with ammunition like the Germans were. We had a lot of chocolate factories and biscuit factories, but we were not prepared for, you know. The soldiers didn't have all the modern equipment. They had a rifle, that's all. And a lot of soldiers were killed in the very beginning because we couldn't fight back.
But as civilians were walking along the roads, would they be attacked by German planes?
Well, why not? Everybody, cattle was attacked, everybody was attacked. Houses were on fire, everybody on it was on fire. Anyway, so...
Did you get to Warsaw?
No. One night, sleeping near a stable, because the stable wasn't empty, and it was warm, after a few days of running, we decided that our shoes are not good enough. We decided, I was the oldest, that me and my sister, which was the next one, will go back home and collect a more few things of clothing. But on the way, on the main, you know, road, not in the town, but, you know, out of town, people running told us that our whole town is already on fire. So we turned back, and we didn't run back. Anyway, we ran out of food. We couldn't buy any food. We were starving. And during the day, one couldn't even look out for food. We were not in towns. The towns were not as near as towns in England, like Ilford and East Ham or Seven Kings. It was a town that then was miles and miles, kilometers actually, in Poland was kilometers, of just countryside and forestry. Poland is an agriculture country, not an industrial. Anyway, so then we heard from people, or somehow we didn't have wirelesses even in that time, that Warsaw is already taken by the Germans. There was no more point of going back to Warsaw, going to Warsaw. And I must underline that I've never been in Warsaw in all my life before the war, because it was too expensive for poor people to travel. And as I wasn't in business, I didn't have any connection with Warsaw. Only what from newspapers. And we went back to our house, not our house, our two rooms, which was already burgled, because, you know, to some people, and it is all over the world, to some people war is a misfortune, is a tragedy, and other people get rich in a war. You know it. Lucky enough, the neighbor on a one floor below us, on the first floor, we were on the second, stopped them, and we managed to get back into that place. And I finished, I nearly was very ill because my shoes gave way, and I walked barefooted and with the dust. We didn't have conditions of washing. I had infected the back of my feet, and I had to go to the hospital, but this is beside the point. It wasn't so important in that time. Well, then, coming back, my husband managed to come back from Lodz, and he says, we haven't found a place where to go, we're not going to, we are going to run away as well, we're going to run to Russia. I didn't have any more connection with the organization where I belonged. You know, everything was finished. And my husband sold two suits, as I mentioned before. And to run away, we decided we take a train from our rail station in our town. To lead to that station, we had to walk on the main posh street in the town, which was called Ulica Słowackiego. This was another historian hero of Poland. It was already cold. My husband wore an overcoat. And from habit, he had his hands in his pockets. We walked into the station during the day, and a German soldier approached us. And he slapped my husband's face. He was afraid even to ask you why. But in the end, he told us, and I may as well tell you, the German language is very similar to Yiddish. And in school in Poland, in my 7 year, from the fifth class onwards, fifth, sixth, seventh, they used to teach in Poland one foreign language, which wasn't French or whatever, and not English, it was German, because Poland...